Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. When I say back, we are so back. Walker, it's week one.
It's week one. We're ready. We're in it.
We're doing it. So it's this time. It's time. And now.
For 3.5 months.
We have to work way too hard to talk about fantasy football. The guy sits next to me. I was talking about, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I did. Because we have, like, nothing to do at work right now because our painter broke his knee, so the shop's kind of backed up. And so the estimators have nothing to do. I was like, yeah, I wrote, like, 1,700 words today. He's like, right. I was like, yeah, I wrote all my sleepers for the week for fantasy football. He was like, I don't understand fantasy football. And I was like, I'm just going to leave that. Like, I'm not going to – I was like, it's fun.
Yeah. It's great to be an insane sicko about something.
Yeah.
And, like, run into somebody who's, like, extremely normal about it. And maybe has like played it once and was like, eh, it wasn't for me.
Yeah, and, that's like,
and I'm like vibrating because I have so many things to say.
Well, a guy at work, another guy who's like into sports and stuff, he was like, "Who's your number one overall pick?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Fantasy football." I was like, "Oh, Justin Jefferson." He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Then probably Austin or Christian McCaffrey." He's like, "Okay." And I was like, "Then Austin Eckler." He's like, "Uh-huh." And I was like, "Probably Jamar Chase." He's like, "Uh-huh." And I was like, Bijan Robinson. He's like, "Okay." And I was like, "Travis Kelce." And then I did the whole first round for him. Nice. So we are definitely sickos in that regard. Yeah, we love to be sickos, folks.
I love to be in podcast mode 100% of my life.
Oh, yeah. I love to always be on.
will never stop going in.
What we are doing today is these are Walker's weekly ranks. We're going to talk about them. You can find them at the website on footballabsurdity.com. Link at the top of the website says weekly ranks. It's next to draft sheet. It's the third button. If you can't find it, I don't know how to help you folks. What we're going to do is we're going to go through Walker's Thursday Night Football ranks, which are important. This Travis Kelce guy isn't going to be playing. Ever heard of him? Well, he might be playing, but probably not.
Yeah, we don't think so.
And then we're going to talk about guys Walker's higher on, lower on, toughest rank, most surprising, sneaky start, tough sit, the ever important sneaky fart.
Yes, that's right.
And then our the sicko stashes, which are guys rostered in fewer than 5% of leagues that you can just go add right now. I added one of these guys today in Scott Fishbowl. Scott Fishbowl. He cleared waivers. So
is it free space, man?
Yes, it is free space, man.
Okay.
Gee, I wonder who that 3% running back might be. The guy I won't shut up about all offseason.
Yeah, your favorite guy.
All right, so let's get into this. Let's start with Thursday Night Football. Season's going to kick off with Chiefs and Lions. We already talked about the full game on the Patreon episode, which you can find. We did on the Friday's Patreon episode. Still getting into regular season mode. Patreon.com/footballabsurdity gets you our Tuesday review episode. But Walker, you have this Patrick Mahomes fella. Mm-hmm. You have him as the number one quarterback this week. Is that allowed?
I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I've got Mahomes number one. He's at home. Detroit's defense wasn't very good last year. I mean, it should be better this year, but it's not a good matchup to start off the season with, like, an improved defense, supposedly. And then you get the best player in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's more likely that Mahomes doesn't finish QB1 than that he does, but he's the safest bet in the world. Like, it doesn't matter who he's throwing to. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff's going on. He's going to throw for 300 yards and multiple touchdowns almost assuredly.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring up his. So there's this whole thing about how Andy Reid's better after the bye and after some time off. Obviously, things are going to be a little different because Travis Kelce is probably not going to play in this one. But Patrick Mahomes, he has not thrown an interception on week one yet in his career. He also has not thrown for fewer than 3 touchdowns in week one in his career.
Great.
He is averaging 308 yards, 3.6 touchdowns, and 0 picks in his 5 week one starts.
Yeah, so even if you think Detroit's defense is going to be, like, above average this year, 303 touchdowns is, like, a reasonable projection.
Yeah. So, like you said, he may not finish number one, but he is – the highest likelihood of the top three guys, the top tier. He has
the highest floor of any quarterback this week by a long shot.
I have a question. Why are we spending so much time telling people to start Patrick Mahomes?
It's a great question. Hey, let's talk about how Patrick Mahomes really good at football. Notice that Patrick Mahomes is a guy you should play?
Yeah, that's why.
Him in the second round.
That's why you come here, folks, for that information. So let's talk about the other quarterback in this game, Jared Goff, as some call him. You have him as a fart, which is a flex start, which is a back-end quarterback one. Quarterback 11. Going up against this Chiefs defense that isn't going to have Chris Jones. And there was a statistic I saw where, like, they were first in pressure or top five in pressure rate with Chris Jones and bottom five without him.
Yeah.
So I think Jared Goff will have some time to throw behind this good offensive line.
Yeah, he's going to be sitting back there plenty of time. He and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who we're going to talk about shortly, are going to have probably quite productive games. I just Goff's not going to run. We know that, but good chance he throws for multiple touchdowns and probably over 250 yards here. So pretty safe play, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I think, a classic Jared Goff game, which is just like just okay. Like nothing too crazy, nothing too exciting, but definitely workable.
If I had to predict, I would say he probably throws for like 270 and two scores.
Okay. I was going to say I was going to say 240 and two scores. So same ballpark. Yeah. But I forgot to mention my home league converted over to Dynasty. We had our Dynasty startup draft. Yes. Guess who it's super flex now, but guess who I skipped out on a quarterback to get in the second round?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The sun god, baby. So let's go over to, because I want to get the wide receivers out of the way before we talk about the running backs, because there's one wide receiver to start in this game.
Yeah, it's St. Brown. He's the guy. He's going to be a top five receiver this week and might be a top five receiver just about every week until Jameson Williams returns. He's going to get so many targets. His last, I think it was a Field Yates that put this tweet out, but if I'm misattributing that, I apologize, but that St. Brown in his last two seasons, in his games that haven't been affected by injury, he has at least eight targets in all but one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, when your floor is eight targets and you catch over 70% of your targets, like he's a shoe-in for like 6 for 60 every week. He's one of the most automatic players in fantasy.
Here's something fun too that I found. Even when affected by injury, he can still get a ton of targets. Week 5 last year against New England, he played 32% of snaps. He played 21 snaps. He was targeted on 6 of them.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, I mean, that's he's a solid as they come. And you know what? I'll say it. If this is your first episode hearing us, welcome in. Walker and I were right. We were right about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Everybody else tried to find reasons to not like him. And the whole time we were like, he's good at football. And guess what? He's good at football.
Good at football. Very good.
That's right. So the other wide receiver. So without Travis Kelce here, you're not starting MVS. You're not starting Khalif Raymond. You're not starting Sky Moore, even though Khalif Raymond's on the other side of the ball. But you're not starting any Chiefs wide receivers.
I just can't predict which one it's going to be.
Yeah.
I need to see it first, and I can't tell, you know, I think we can narrow it down to it's probably either going to be MVS or Sky Moore, mm-hmm. but which one? I mean, even if Sky Moore is the number one receiver in, you know, nominally, he's probably going to be like a slightly less productive version of what Juju was last year. And he had 70 for 750 and 4. So, yeah. You're looking at, oh, great, Sky Moore is going to have 55 for 603 touchdowns.
Well, and here's another thing. This is why I don't want to start any Chiefs receiver in week one either. Kadarius Toney might play.
Or he might not.
Or he might not. There's also Justin Ross.
I don't.
Like, Justin Ross could easily catch two touchdowns and cap the upside of everybody else.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's good at. Yeah. And then there's also Rashee Rice. Where it could be a situation where everybody gets like five targets or four targets and then nobody's any good.
Right.
And so I don't want to see that. I don't want to start that in week one. I understand the like desire to have somebody in the first game of the season. You know, and it's exciting. It's fun. But don't go out of your way to start anybody, any wide receiver not named Amon-Ra St. Brown on either side of this ball.
I agree. Yep.
All right. So let's talk about running backs. This is where it gets a little bit more interesting because you've got almost kind of mirrored backfields in so much as Isaiah Pacheco, David Montgomery, those are going to be your guys carrying the ball. And then you've got Jahmyr Gibbs, Jerick McKinnon, who will also carry the ball, but they're also going to be primarily the pass catching back. Like that's what they're there to do. So you've got Gibbs ranked the highest here. First career game, you have him ranked at 18th as a solid start. And I kind of feel like even if people aren't sure about Jahmyr Gibbs yet, like they're one of those people who's like, well, I have to see him do it. Where the price that you had to pay to have him on your roster, you have to start him week one. You have to start him this game or else you made a dumb pick.
I mean, I don't know if I go that far, but I mean, yeah, you almost assuredly took him in the top 16 running backs. There's no reason why if you're starting more than one running back, which almost every league you are, then yeah, you're playing him. I mean, he's even if he only touches the ball like 9 times, there's a very good chance that 4 or 5 of those are catches. You know, his floor is like Antonio Gibson type performance where he's RB28. And then his ceiling is that he has a crazy Kareem Hunt game.
Yeah, I mean, I said that he's the best pass catching back that I've seen come out since like Kamara.
McCaffrey.
I think, yeah, McCaffrey, Kamara, like that group. So it's like at least the last 5 years, he's the best pass catching back to come out. So the Lions took him 12th. So they have an idea for him. And they did say that they're going to use him in ways that people don't expect. So, you know, maybe if you're an IDP league, you'll get some tackles.
It's preparing in practice for the Jahmyr Gibbs halfback pass.
That's right. That's right. Drilling Jahmyr Gibbs wildcat. They have a whole package of wildcat plays just for Jahmyr Gibbs, and they're all passes. He's not allowed to run.
They're all passes.
All right. So his teammate, David Montgomery, you have at 20th. I think David Montgomery really kind of got sold short this draft season because of Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, he's a really good running back, and he was mired behind that terrible Bears offensive line for years, and now he has one of the best offensive lines in the league with the Lions. And so I think he's going to be this super solid running back. He'll catch a couple passes a game. He's going to get the goal line work. So I think that David Montgomery, like you can get away with starting both of these guys every week, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the best running back room in your league, but you could deal with it if you had a strong roster elsewhere.
Yeah. So you all have him as a start this week as well. You have him at 20th. Let's play a little bit of a game. And I know the answers, but we're going to say it for the folks at home. J.K. Dobbins or either of these running backs?
I would probably go with Dobbins.
Yes. In the same tier?
Yeah. I mean, it would be, I would say, from like Connor at 16 through
Pierce at
21. Yeah.
I forgot this game is Jeff guesses the tiers. I forgot that that's why I don't do this or that.
We're out of practice.
Yeah. And then you have Pacheco and McKinnon much lower. You have them at 33 and 35 respectively. I think their roles are a little bit more unsure because of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire factor as well. Like he could come in and get 9-10 touches and completely blow up the value of both of these guys because they're both kind of singular. Why can't I? What's the opposite of multifaceted?
single use.
Oh my god, I know this word. Either way, Pacheco run, McKinnon catch.
One dimensional.
There you go. Pacheco run, McKinnon catch. So
sure.
It's one of those things where they could have a lower upside. And honestly, where you took these guys, they shouldn't be starters for you this week, unless you like took Jonathan Taylor in a deep league and now you're scrambling.
Yeah. I mean, Pacheco, I could see if you drafted him, you probably took him around like between 25 and 30. Mm-hmm. So I could see you thinking he was like a flex play, but I mean, I doubt very few people were taking Jerick McKinnon in the top 30 running backs, like, you probably have a better week one option.
Yeah, I loved Jerick McKinnon. I could take him in the ninth round. I didn't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, so, that's, I believe, yeah, I took him in the eighth round of my 14-team home league draft.
Yeah, so speaking of 14 teams, how about that? How about my auction league team, huh?
I haven't looked at it.
Oh, wow. So this is the Football Absurdity Experts League. I didn't spend more than like $35 on any one player. So I was pretty happy with it. This is 14 teams. My starters are Russ, Olave, Higgins, Henry, Pollard, Schultz, Miles Sanders, Derek Carr. And then I've got Chig, Dotson, Addison, Cook, Kamara, and Rashee Rice on my bench. I am feeling good.
I mean, it's a strong bench. I feel like you're going to... I could easily see you being like 3-4 halfway through the regular season and then still getting like the 3 seed.
Yep, that's right, because Alvin Kamara is going to come on slow. Probably Rashee Rice, if he comes on, is going to come on slow. So I mean, not worried about it.
By the way, since Jeff indulged in his team, I'm going to indulge mine as well.
All right, fine.
quarterback, Kirk Cousins, Superflex, Josh Dobbs.
Oh, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, I got really squeezed with the second quarterback. Wide receivers are AJ Brown and Chris Godwin.
Good.
Running backs are Austin Eckler and Ramondre Stevenson.
And that's where you make up for having Josh Dobbs.
Right. Tight end is Mark Andrews.
Also where you make up.
Wide receiver, or the regular flex, is currently Rashad Bateman. I do have Jonathan Taylor on IR. And then bench is Tyler Boyd, Tyjae Spears, Devin Achane, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Chuba Hubbard, Chase Edmonds, and Jacksonville defense against the Fightin' Richardsons.
Woo! Alrighty. So, and also one of the better team names that I've ever seen, Amon-Ra St. Clowndeer ass.
I decided to switch it up, but being normal and not braggadocious hasn't been working, so let's see if calling my shot works.
There you go. And let's see if it works. And then two things that aren't going to work is everybody's running out to pick up Noah Gray.
I think Noah Gray is going to do fine in this game. I think he probably ends up with like 4 catches for 37 yards.
Yeah, people are making him a priority add over like Gerald Everett, who has a good matchup this week and I think is going to go off. And, you know, like Dalton Schultz, like they're making him a priority ad over guys who can do the same thing that he's going to do, but have a track record of doing it.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but people are doing the like Travis Kelce good, therefore same use backup also good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's not going to do what Travis Kelce does, but it's people forget that Noah Gray was actually pretty productive for a tight end too last year. So I can understand being a little excited to see what he could do as a starting tight end, but you certainly can't expect him to slot right in and be top 12. I mean, the Lions haven't been very good at defending tight ends, but they've invested a lot in their linebackers and secondary in the past 6 months. So You have to imagine that they're going after that weakness.
Jack Campbell, baby.
Got Jack Campbell, Brian Branch.
Got them both in my IDP league.
Yeah. Well, Jack Campbell, I don't know how much in the way of like sacks or picks he's going to get you, but he'll probably get a lot of tackles.
Oh, yeah. That's what you get linebackers for. They're kind of like they just rack up a ton of tackles and give you that nice IDP base.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Brian Branch. I don't think I'm going to start him tomorrow, but I do have him on my bench.
Yeah, I wouldn't start him tomorrow.
Yeah, because I have who do I have? Jeremy Chin and
He's really good.
Yeah, and who else? Who's my other starting defensive back? Oh, Minka, that's right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like DBs are like they're a lot like tight ends where you're really like top heavy, and then there's a bunch of same guys. So that's why I got Minka and then Chin to try to get difference makers. So, alrighty, don't start Noah Gray. You can if you're in a bind, but like Walker has in their ranks. Let's see, guys that could be on the waiver wire: Gerald Everett, Greg Dulcich, Juwan Johnson, all above Noah Gray, arguably the same tier, I would say.
I would say the tier is Tyler Higbee at 10 through Chig at 18.
Okay, yeah. So big group. So also available Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz, Tyler Conklin, Chigger Conquo. Definitely, like, don't run out to get him. But then also we've got in this game the tight end who was promised, Sam Laporta, who Walker has at 19 this week. I think that's prudent. He's a rookie tight end. I know everybody got all over their skis about Sam Laporta, but let's pump the brakes and see how it goes.
Yeah, Sam Laporta is going to have a very solid, like, rookie tight end season where he catches like 45 passes for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. And everybody's going to be like disappointed for some reason.
Yeah, because they were expected him to be top 10.
Yeah, because they were like, I'm drafting Sam Laporta as tight end 11. And then he's going to finish like tight end 16, which is really good for a rookie. And everybody's going to forget about him. And then the next year, you're going to be able to get him for cheap and he'll be better.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with in the terms of like everybody forgot that he was good, was everybody got so wrapped up in Kyle Pitts going into his sophomore year that you could get Freiermuth at a discount last year.
Yeah, as well. Now he's going about where he should.
Yeah, now he's top of the blob sort of guy with like David Njoku and hate crime Higbee sort of stuff. So
yeah, he's your upper blob. Your Gerald Everett's and your Greg Dulcich's are your blob. Yeah. And then guys like Hunter Henry and Noah Fant, that's your under blob.
Your under blob? Yeah. What about side blob?
Side blob. That's that's the guys that are way down here. That's the guys that just barely missed the top 25.
Noah Fant.
Noah Fant is, he's under blob.
Oh, he's under blob. Let's see. So side blob is...
Side blob is like Isaiah Likely.
Oof. Not likely to pick him up, folks. That's right. I forgot. Walker's 25th ranked tight end, Dawson Knox. I forgot I shout that out every episode. Walker's lowest ranked tight end. So let's talk a little bit about some players that you're higher on, lower on, and then our miscellaneous categories for each position. So we already talked about one of the quarterbacks you're higher on. You, Jared Goff, not at Detroit, at KC. Messed up the notes here. He's 11. ECR is 15. We already talked about him. You feel better about starting him than a lot of people do. Then you've got Daniel Jones versus Dallas Sunday Night Football. You have him 12th, ECR on him is 14th. I think that's really weird because a lot of people were pounding the table for Daniel Jones. And then his first week, they're like, oh, yeah, but don't start him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you drafted Daniel Jones, this is the type of matchup you're looking for. I mean, Dallas's defense is good, but it's beatable. You're at home. You know, it's a rivalry game. They're going to pull out all the stops to win.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got the rushing floor. I mean, it's not a huge difference in ECR, but I'm just surprised not to see him in the top 12.
Yeah, it's one of those games where, yes, I think Dallas's defense is very good. But it's good in a way that Daniel Jones can score fantasy points around. Because
he doesn't – they don't give up they get a lot of negative plays. And they – tend to give up the occasional big play.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones is good at running and like tossing the ball downfield to a receiver and letting him make a play. So, and he doesn't really turn the ball over. So I feel like Jones is a good matchup for what Dallas does on defense. Like he might only throw for like 180 yards, mm-hmm. but he'll run for another 50 and he'll account for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Like I will always start a Daniel Jones type against this defense, but like a Kirk Cousins type will get eaten alive by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, because they can't move.
Yeah, exactly. So last guy, you have Ryan Tannehill at New Orleans. You have him 21st. ECR on him is 28. Not really relevant outside of two quarterback leagues, but I think the hate on Ryan Tannehill has gone too far.
The Ryan Tanna hate. It's
Ryan Tanna hate. You're either Ryan Tanna hater or you're Ryan Tanna pilled. Those are the options.
That's right. What?
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's my new catchphrase. Bringo. But Ryan Tannehill, if you're in your two quarterback leagues, you can start him over whatever other scrub you ended up with.
I would like to point out that ever since, I don't know if you retweeted it or you posted it about "that's right" being the straight person catchphrase. Yes, you tried to say it on the podcast twice and botched it both times.
Oh my God, I have. It's true. Yeah, that's right is straight. So true is gay. Isn't it?
That's right.
And yeah, so true.
That's your body rejecting saying that's right.
I know. It's disgusting. Right. It's unacceptable what's happening in our bodies.
Look, you're just born. You're either born to say that's right or you're born to say so true. That's how it is. quarterbacks, Walker is lower on Tua against the Chargers. You have him at 13. ECR is 9. I'm a little befuddled by this. Is it because his offensive line is poop and he will die at the hands of the poorer of the Bosa brothers?
Not even really. I just, I don't know, long road trip, week one. Chargers have had a long time to prepare for this. I think they're going to be a better football team this year than the Dolphins are. And I don't really feel like Tua is that good of a quarterback. I think he's propped up by a really good scheme and two elite receivers.
I think that he's fantastic because he's my second quarterback in my home league dynasty. So I think he's amazing, Walker. I need you to bump those ranks up.
I'm not bumping anything. If you offer me a bump, I'm saying no thank you.
Oh, wow. Straight edge Walker over here. All right.
I only dabble in the marijuana. I'm not doing anything stronger than that.
No hard drugs.
No.
Dak Prescott at the Giants, 14 is Walker's rank. ECR is 10. This is called Walker's coming around to Jeff hating Dak Prescott. Let's go.
It's not a very good matchup. The Giants have a really good defense. And Wink Martindale is going to scheme up a lot of good pressure. Dak is adjusting to new weapons, new tight end, new backup running backs, new wide receiver too. Mm-hmm. So CeeDee Lamb, I'm sure will be fine. But yeah, and Tony Pollard will be fine, but you're going to struggle to find production outside of them, I think, early in the season here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a situation where the Dallas offense musters like 300 yards, but like 210 of them are Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. So yeah, like they'll both be fine, but I don't think it's going to be very fruitful for everybody else yet.
No, so. I mean, and Dak doesn't run as much as he used to either.
No, so not since he broke his leg.
Right. You can't rely on like the 300 yards and 6 touchdowns every year now. It's more like 203. So, I mean, my guess would be that Dak probably ends up with like 230 yards passing, like 20 rushing, a touchdown and a pick.
I think he's going to have multiple picks. Dude loves to throw picks now.
Well, I think that will probably even out a little bit. I don't think he's nearly as much of a risk taker as his numbers showed last year.
That's fine. I'm looking up his rushing. Sorry, because I had him 2 years ago and I was like, this dude does not rush anymore. but yeah, last year he rushed for at least 20 yards in 3 out of the last 5 games. So. Walker actually taking a stand on Deshaun Watson versus Cincinnati. You have him 17th. Everybody else put him as 13th, just so that if he goes off, they could say, oh, well, I had him just outside my starting ranks. And if he does poorly, they could say, this is why I didn't have him as startable quarterback in week one. Like, everybody else is hedging, but you're actually taking a stand. Don't start Deshaun Watson. He's a bad man at football and at life.
Do not pay attention to my ranking of Tua Tagovailoa. Do not ascribe that narrative to my ranking of Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, you had a reason. You said, I don't think Tua is a very good quarterback. We don't know what to think about Deshaun Watson at this point.
Yeah,
we don't know if he's good or not anymore.
Great. I think Deshaun Watson was a very good quarterback. I don't know if he still is. Cincinnati has a good defense. They know him well. And the best part of this offense is still Nick Chubb. So I think he's going to be featured, especially in the red zone. And I think Watson probably turns the ball over at least once.
Was Watson the quarterback when J.J. Watt picked off Andy Dalton? Or was that T.J. Yates?
I don't remember.
In the playoffs. I think that was T.J. Yates, I was going to say. But yeah,
probably was.
It felt like
Was that when did Watt pick off Connor Cook?
No, he picked off Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton for the Bengals.
Yes. J.J. Watt pick six against Andy Dalton in the franchise's first ever playoff game.
Might have been Matt Schaub then.
Oh my God, I think it was Matt. It might have been Matt Schaub. Hold on, please hold. We're remembering some guys. Please hold. This is very important.
Are you sure it was?
It was Matt Schaub.
Okay, yeah, Matt Schaub.
Yeah. All right. So guys remembered. Your toughest rank this week, Anthony Richardson versus Jacksonville. I think that's fair. Nobody's quite sure what to make of him with or without Jonathan Taylor, and he starts off in a hole without JT. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you've got the rushing floor, but I think you're baking in at least one turnover here. And Jacksonville's defense is not really good or bad. It's pretty middle of the road. I don't think they'll open up the offense enough for him to have like a top five week, but I think he'll run enough that he's not going to be like unstartable and super flex. So yeah, I mean, he's a mid to high end QB two.
Yeah. He's
good. That's the best I can figure.
He's going to have one of those weeks where everybody gets to victory lap.
Yeah. Yeah. People who are like out on Anthony Richardson will be like, see, he turned the ball over twice. And everybody else is going to be like, see, it doesn't matter because you ran for 71 yards.
Yeah, exactly. And well, nobody will look at that. He had 120 yards and one touchdown passing.
Right.
Most surprising, Aaron Rodgers versus Buffalo. When I was putting in the versus and the at, I knee jerk said at Chicago. I was like, wait a second. Nope. He is not a Packer anymore.
Nope.
So most surprising, you have him versus Buffalo at 18. So you have Aaron Rodgers. Do not start him this week. I kind of think that's fair. Buffalo is a good defense. Like, they don't have Von Miller, but I don't even think about Buffalo's defense with Von Miller. Like, they're still very good.
Yeah. I mean, there's areas on the field where you can attack Buffalo, but the secondary is still very strong. You know, the linebackers are not so good anymore. Matt Milano's good, but the rest of them are not very good. But the best option they have over the middle is either like old Randall Cobb or Tyler Conklin, which those guys are fine, but they're certainly not explosive playmakers. I don't think you're going to be like, you know, getting 40-yard passes up the seam with that type of personnel.
Yeah, you're not getting a ton of yak with Randall Cobb and Tyler Conklin, and neither one of them are going deep.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, you know, Rodgers is, he's going to do a lot of touchdown or check down stuff, and he might hit on one touchdown, but I don't think he's going to throw for 300 yards in this game. I don't think he's going to throw for multiple touchdowns. And at that point, he doesn't run. So you're not, that's a QB2 at that point.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. You took a guy like Rodgers to be part of a platoon. So, you know, when you take two guys in a platoon like this, there's going to be weeks where one's like quarterback 10 and one's quarterback 18. You're like, perfect. That's easy. Decision made for me. And this is a week where, you know, as much as I liked Aaron Rodgers, I didn't end up with him. There were guys going in his range that I liked more. And this would be a week where I wouldn't want to start Aaron Rodgers. So makes a lot of sense. Your sneaky start, Geno Smith versus the Rams. You have him at 10. Jackson Smith and Ajigba was changed from questionable to healthy right before we started recording. So he's going to play this weekend. Also, the Rams are terrible. They have exactly one good player on defense.
Correct.
Yes. I mean, he's an Inner Circle Hall of Famer, but they only have one.
Right. Yeah. He's the probably still the best defensive player in the league, but he still only counts for like three players.
Yeah.
So you know,
it's still 11 on 11.
Right. So Geno should carve them up. I mean, I think he's a clear top 12 play. You know, guy you can put in if you drafted, say you drafted Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith right around the same area back to back. You are starting Geno Smith this week. Listen to me. You are starting Geno Smith this week.
I know you don't like it. I know it makes you scared, but you are starting Geno Smith over Aaron Rodgers.
You will enjoy the 280 yards and three touchdowns.
One to each? DK, Lockett, and JSN each get one?
No. I don't. One to Metcalf, one to Lockett, and one to Will Disley.
Ugh, that's true. It is the first 3 weeks of the season. That means it's Will Disley touchdown time.
Will Disley, one for eight and a touchdown.
All right, Walker's tough sit. Brock Purdy at Pittsburgh, 24. It's going to be a monsoon, and I don't think that's why Walker said to sit Brock Purdy, because I don't think you're tracking the weather that closely. It's going to be an ugly game. I think, period, that's what it's going to be. So don't start Brock Purdy if you can help it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough matchup. It's bad weather. I just don't like it. I'm not interested at all. And I think a lot of people will have drafted Brock Purdy late, thinking, well, he was so good last year that I can just plug him in, you know, the second to last round. I don't even have to worry about quarterback. You could easily just go to the waiver wire and pick up Ryan Tannehill and start him, and you'd probably get more production.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Brock Purdy, was like, he was decent, but he wasn't this like super productive fantasy quarterback, because he doesn't run. He averaged down the stretch 218 and 2 per game. So like, he was okay. He wasn't this like superstar quarterback.
Right.
So
here's how much I don't like Brock Purdy this week. I would stream Sam Howell instead of starting Brock Purdy.
Let's go. Here's how much I need Brock Purdy this week. I will trade you literally anything for Brock Purdy in the 16 team Tesha Palooza League. Somebody please help me. My quarterbacks are, I had Trey Lance and I had Kyler Murray, and then I picked up Clayton Tune and Colt McCoy, and now Josh Dobbs is starting. I literally have no starting quarterback, Walker.
Oh no. It's not good.
I'm in trouble. I tried trading Tony Pollard for Tua today. Got rejected. I have Tony Pollard for Derek Carr loaded up. Probably going to get rejected. I need a quarterback, and I'm overpaying with Tony Pollard. I'm basically trying to hand somebody Tony Pollard to get like a top 15 quarterback. I'm like, here, you take him. You take him.
You're desperate. Yeah,
I am desperate. Although last year I traded Dalvin Cook for Derek Carr and some picks, and that worked out for me in another dynasty league. So, all right. Speaking of Dalvin Cook, let's talk about some running backs you're higher on. The guy that Dalvin Cook left behind, Alexander Mattison, you have at 12, ECR is 19. Walker is going both all the way off and all in on Alexander Mattison versus Tampa Bay, who had a good run defense last year.
I think it's going to be worse this year.
Oh, okay then.
That's my prediction, is that Tampa's run defense not as good this year. And I think Madison is going to get a lot of touches until he starts to lose efficiency. Then they'll start to work Ty Chandler in, probably. But for now, Madison's going to be the number one back. He's going to get a lot of touches. And I don't think Tampa's defense is going to be as good as it was last year. So, yeah, I think you're definitely starting him.
I do like that Tampa isn't going to be as good as they were last year on defense thing, because I'm remembering last year when they were talking about the aging veterans on the defense. I distinctly remember it was a Sunday night football game, and Chris Collinsworth was talking about how there's a feeling, you know, that some of the guys around the league, that some of the guys on this defense are coasting off of that Super Bowl victory. They're not really trying anymore because they got their ring. And guys that we would think of being really good, like Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Devin White, like basically this linebacker core kind of going through the motions. And if they were going through the motions last year in Tom Brady's last ride, like, what is it going to look like this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. So just a thought, just kind of an errant thought there about supporting why they might be worse than people think. DeAndre Swift at New England. You have him at 22nd. Everybody has him at 33. I realize I did not touch this Philly backfield, except for I got a few late shares of Kenny Gainwell. I have no interest in trying to sort out this DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny stuff, but it sounds like you are jumping into the fray and saying it's going to be DeAndre Swift.
I think it's going to be DeAndre Swift as the number one until he gets banged up eventually. But for the start, I think he will get the most touches. Yes.
I mean, okay. I mean, that's entirely fair. So what do you see this like a rough split between the two being?
I would say Penny ends up in the like 8 carries range. Gainwell's probably got like 4 carries and 3 targets. And then Swift has like 9 carries and 4 targets, maybe.
Okay. So I like the four targets there for Swift. That makes me feel a little bit better. And so the guy you have ranked right behind him, Khalil Herbert at 23, ECR is 32. I don't get what people are doing. Like they're like, here are my priors. Roschon Johnson, greater than sign, Khalil Herbert. And I will not do anything to move off of this position. But Khalil Herbert is good. He's a good football player. He showed it, and he showed in the preseason that he is going to be the lead back, at least for now. So you could have this feeling that Roschon Johnson is going to take over. That's fine. And that's kind of a prevalent thought, but you shouldn't rank it like that yet. And I think that's what people are doing, is like they're just like hedging against a Roschon Johnson takeover.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not going to happen. Khalil Herbert is the most talented back in the backfield, especially as a runner. I mean, he'll be productive.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's good, folks. You know, people are so enamored with the new toy that they forget that before Roschon Johnson came in, people were clamoring for Khalil Herbert to replace David Montgomery.
This is like how it always works with running backs. It's whoever the new guy is instantly better than the guy who was at the forefront.
I agree. Also, let's not talk about my sicko stash vis-a-vis that thought. Just like we're ignoring your 2013, where you ignore my sicko stash and that new is always better thought process.
Okay, but he is actually better than the starter.
Thank you. We're talking about Sean Tucker, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Sean Tucker.
Running backs you're lower on. Joe Mixon, you have him at 15. ECR is 9.
Still play him.
Yeah, it feels like this is the football absurdity line. We're always slightly lower on Joe Mixon than everybody else. That's just how it is.
Pretty much, yeah. These three running backs that I have are the most predictable three running backs you could have possibly. You probably, all of you listening probably could have guessed the three.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Sham Fakers.
Cam Fakers, yes.
Sham Fakers, you have a 25, ECR is 20. Rashad White, you have at 31, everybody else has 17. Akers and Rashad White are, like, Akers is lucky that he doesn't have somebody really good in the backfield behind him. Rashad White does. And so that's going to be a problem for people who went all in on Rashad White. And the jokesters at freaking Player Profiler saying that he's better than Bijan Robinson.
Well, to be fair, I guess that was just some guy they had on the podcast as a guest who said that.
I'm going to physically fight him.
It's not true. And Cam Akers is in a bad offense. He's not going to score many touchdowns. He doesn't catch the ball. Rashad White is not very good. His only saving grace is that he does catch the ball, but he's not a good runner. He's not really that great of a pass catcher either. He's just kind of there. And I do think he's going to get overtaken at some point.
Sorry, my Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead fell over. I don't know if that picked up on Mike.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, my Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead fell over. I think Mixon, he's going to go full Mixon, which, again, if you haven't listened, that was 18 touches for 83 yards.
Not even.
Yeah.
He'll have, 15 carries for 57 yards and four catches for 26 yards.
Whoa, sounds like 11 points. Sounds pretty good to me. Shut up.
Yeah. And if he scores a touchdown, then he'll be like RB10. Yeah. And if he doesn't, then he'll still be like a playable fringe RB2.
Yeah, you're always starting Joe Mixon. All right. Walker's toughest wank. Toughest wank.
Wank.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. What?
Excuse me. Oh, boy. Let's try that again. Toughest rank. Kenneth Walker versus the Rams. I know you like Kenneth Walker, but toughest wank. I mean, hachi machi.
Oh, my God.
You have him at 13.
Yeah, I don't really care for Walker's fantasy prospects for the full season, but this is a good matchup week one. I think he's going to score a touchdown, probably break off a long run at some point. It's what he tends to do. This could easily be a game where he doesn't even necessarily touch the ball that much, like 13 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown, and then like one catch. And there you go. There's 15 points, you know, nice and easy. So I think you're definitely starting Walker this week.
Yeah, and I think Walker in the ranks this off. Well, one, he had that injury that we weren't sure when he was going to come back. And then he suffered from the same syndrome that we were talking about with Khalil Herbert, where, Zach Charbonnet. he's going to take over, and now he's going to be really good. And it's like, well, no, Kenneth Walker's a better runner. Like, Charbonnet is the problem with, so the problem with the reason they drafted Charbonnet, I think, is because they've always tried to have this like pass catching back aspect to their running back room, which was filled with guys like DJ Dallas and Travis Homer and just these other guys that just weren't very CJ Procise. These guys who weren't very good. And now they have a good player that can do that in that role. And I think that that's kind of what they were looking for. Cause Kenneth Walker, there was that whole, Kenneth Walker literally cannot catch passes. He is physically unable to do it. Like Zoolander turning left, discourse from last off season. And, you know, he can catch it, but that's not what he's best at. So, I think Kenneth Walker at 13, I think he's going to be one of those, guys that everybody looks back and goes, yeah, we really overthought this situation. Most surprising rank, Raheem Mostert at the Chargers, you have at 26. Is that too high or too low?
It's just higher than you would have expected based on where you're drafting him. Even now, people are not going to be drafting him in the top, you know, near the top 25 running backs. I would guess he's probably on, you know, right around 30 to 34. I think it's a pretty weak run defense, and he's the starting running back for now. So I think he's certainly playable as a flex.
Yeah, no Jeff Wilson. A-Chain's busted. Or not busted. He's banged up.
He's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to play, but he's banged up. And people are like, oh, it's going to be Salvin Ahmed season. That's when you're lost, is when you're hyping up Salvin Ahmed. I've been there. Okay, I've been there, folks. It's not a good time. But maybe Myles Gaskin will come back. And then...
Didn't he go? He went somewhere else. I can't remember.
He's on Minnesota, I think, now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I remember making the joke about friendship ended with Dwayne McBride.
Yeah. Myles Gaskin has returned to being my best friend.
That's right. Yeah, he's on the Vikings. All right, so sneaky start this week. Jamal Williams versus Tennessee. He's going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Do you know who else is going to score a touchdown? I've foreseen it.
Tyjae Spears.
Taysom Hill.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I can't believe we didn't lead the episode with this. Jake Haener, suspended for 6 games,
yeah,
Walker.
Yeah, suspended. VEDs.
VEDs. How does this change the Saints' prospects?
Does not.
This is why not Dalvin Cook. Taysom Hill was listed as a quarterback this week. It makes sense now. Mm-hmm. All right, tough stick. You have James Cook at the Jets, 30th ranked. Jets defense is going to be very good, I do believe. And I also believe that Damian Harris is going to get a lot of touchdowns and annoy people who said James Cook, RB1 SZN.
Yeah, I mean, where you drafted Cook, you're not going to want to sit in week one. But I just don't see, I don't think he's going to score a touchdown. I don't think he's going to get more than, you know, a dozen touches. So at that point, you just don't really have a ceiling. I mean, if he gets 9 carries and 3 catches and he has 5 yards a touch, then that's 9 points. That's not usable, really.
Yeah, that's a desperation by week flex type of point total. Not week one. This is my fully armed and functional fantasy football team. So some wide receivers you're higher on, DJ Moore versus the Packers. You think that Justin Fields has unlocked him. You have him at 15, ECR is 25. He's good now, folks.
DJ Moore has always been good. He's just not great.
Yes.
But it seems like they're going to use him a lot in like short passes and just get the ball in his hands. And I think that Green Bay is pretty vulnerable in the tackling department. So I think Moore is going to end up with a huge gain on a pass play at some point in this game. I just like the matchup.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the ball, you got Christian Watson at 16, ECR is 22. He was injured in practice today.
Yes,
so if you listen to this, you know, people are probably listening to this on Thursday or Friday, Saturday. Just keep that in mind. Double check. Walker will update the ranks. I think you do it on Friday or.
I will. Friday or Saturday, I'll
just update. Take a look in. Yeah, so take a look on Sunday morning. Walker will have those ranks updated, unless they don't.
I mean, don't.
Just click the little news button next to Christian Watson. Pay attention.
Yeah. It's not my job.
Yeah, Christian Watson, a Bears secondary bad, but maybe Christian Watson not very good with Jordan Love yet. We don't know, but you're in on Christian Watson if he plays.
Yeah, if he plays, then yeah, I think you should be playing him. Chicago's defense should not scare you.
Yeah, and then the long, arduous path, the next 3.5 months, where Mike Williams ends up with 1,000 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns. Receiving touchdowns. Mike 1,010 Williams, they call him. You have him at 21, ECR's 26. That is doesn't seem like a lot, but that's making a statement. 26 is a flex. 21 is your wide receiver too.
Right. I mean, Mike Williams is going to be a really solid wide receiver too all season, if not a fringe wide receiver one. We've seen this happen before with a bad offensive coordinator. You know, Justin Herbert in his breakout season had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen both in the top 15. There's no reason why they can't both be top 12 this season, honestly. I think people are too scared off by the new toy in Quentin Johnston.
I've cooled on Quentin Johnston significantly. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, I stopped talking about him.
Yeah, I did. Mike Williams is very good at what he does, and Justin Herbert has the arm to show that off. Mm-hmm. I think that if he's going to get 1,010, this is probably the best season for it to actually happen.
He's going to do it. Folks call him Mike 1,010 Williams. By the way, other Mike Williams, incredibly tragic. Did you hear about this?
Well, it was reported that he died in a construction accident.
Did he not actually die?
Apparently he is on life support, but he's not dead.
Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Well, still tragic.
Yes.
Anyways, wide receivers you're low on. Devonta Smith at New England. You have him at 22, ECR is 14. I think this is going to be kind of an ugly game.
Yeah.
New England and Philly.
I think New England is going to kind of muck it up, make it slow, not let Philly really get anything down the field. I mean, Devonta Smith could have I still have him at 22, so you're probably starting him, but I don't think you can expect more than, 5 for 65 out of him or something. Like, he'll be fine, but if you have a strong receiver room, I could see, you could have Mike Williams as your wide receiver 3 and Devonta Smith as your wide receiver 2, and I would start Williams over Smith.
Yeah, but with most roster constructions, especially with the prevalence of 3 wide receiver leagues and flexes now, you're probably starting Devonta Smith.
I would say it's likely.
You can get away from it. All right, so another guy you're low on, Chris Godwin at Minnesota, ECR is 19. You have him at 27. Just not feeling Baker, or do you like what this defense did in the offseason? Because they were garbage last year.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a Minnesota defense thing. I still think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, because I know they drafted a cornerback and they picked up Murphy from Arizona, but I think they're still not going to be very good.
No, they'll be better than they were last year, but they're not going to be good. It's just I need to see what the offense is actually going to look like now before I can really trust these receivers. I mean, if you drafted Chris Godwin, you're probably playing him. I'm playing him in experts league, but I don't see the ceiling really unless they're way down all game and he racks up a bunch of volume stats. I don't see the ceiling.
I mean, that's entirely fair. If I had to pick one of the two, I would go with Mike Evans. I think that I just love Mike Evans. Some call him Mike 1,010 Evans.
No one does that.
I will now, just to annoy you. Jahan Dotson, you have him at 34, ECR is 27. There's this drumbeat of this is going to be Jahan Dotson's huge breakout year, and I think that could happen. I also think that in this game, we're not sure Terry McLaurin's going to play. I also think it's going to be a game that Riverboat Ron's just going to try to not screw up. I think it's going to be a lot of running the football with Brian Robinson and short passes to your boy, John Bates. I must put him as a flex, as a stream this week, and to Antonio Gibson. So not a lot for Jahan Dotson this week.
Yeah, I'm just not. I would expect that. With no McLaurin, he's going to get a lot of attention. And I don't think that Sam Howell is going to be the guy who's going to unlock that offense. I don't have any trust in that.
I think it's going to be Sam Howell is going to unlock the offense the same way Brock Purdy unlocks the 49ers offense, in that he'll just do whatever Eric Bieniemy tells him to do. And it's not like he's a value add. He's just not going to push back against what the system is there.
He will fill the role, you know, and that's it. No more.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect way of putting it. So breaking news, Walker.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers have announced.
Yes.
Their 2023 captains.
Okay.
Brock Purdy is a captain. From Mr. Irrelevant to a captain.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's crazy. And you know who's not a captain? Nick Bosa. Also, ooh. I'm very proud of my joke that I made today on Twitter.
That was a really good one.
I was one of those where as I was tweeting it out, I was laughing to myself.
Nice.
All right. So toughest rank this week, Calvin Ridley at Indianapolis, 19. Again, Walker's coming around on Jeff hating Calvin Ridley. That's right, Jeff.
No one said that.
So true.
Who said that?
No, you have him 19th. I think that it's a prudent rank given that he hasn't played in a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he will be a focal point in the offense, but I can't imagine him coming right in and getting like a dozen targets. It's probably going to be like four catches for 70 yards and maybe he scores a touchdown. I mean,
yes.
He's playable. He's certainly playable, but I wouldn't expect this to be his huge week.
Yeah, I hated Calvin Ridley, and I always thought he was playable. So let's skip over the most surprising and go to the sneaky start, because it's his teammate, Christian Kirk. You have it 23. Walker, I thought you loved I thought you hated Calvin Ridley and loved Christian Kirk. This is what I thought was happening.
No, I like them both.
All right,
I love the Jacksonville offense this year, basically, is the lesson.
Yeah, they're going to be good, folks. This Trevor Lawrence guy, you seen this? You heard about this?
Have you heard that he's good?
Yes. And I realized the thing that's probably going to annoy me more than anything this year is if Michael Thomas comes back and has a good year after I pounded the table for him last year and then just basically didn't draft him this year. You have your most surprising rank this week, Michael Thomas versus Tennessee at 36. Is that higher or lower than you expected?
Higher. I don't like that I have him in the top 36, really, because I'm an anti-Michael Thomas guy as well. But it's a good matchup against Tennessee. I think there's a good chance he scores a touchdown. And he's going to be somewhat involved, at least until he obviously gets hurt again. But for now, he's healthy enough to play, and he wants to play. So he's probably going to end up with, you know, 5 for 50, and he might score.
Yeah, and I think, as somebody, like I said, pounded the table for Michael Thomas last year, followed him closely till he got hurt, it was incredibly frustrating to have him on your roster because he would end the game with good scores, but he would have, through like 3.5 quarters, he would have one catch for 17 yards or something, and then all of a sudden he'd end the game with like 5 for 55 and a touchdown because Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston would just, I don't remember who it was, and I don't care to remember who it was, would just pepper him with targets in one drive, and then he would have a good end of game line. So it could be a situation where Michael Thomas isn't who he was anymore. And that was something that was evident last year, but it was kind of covered up by us forgetting about him. Yeah, touchdown luck, and then us forgetting about what it was like to have him on and around our teams. So let's run through these tight ends that you're higher on. Pat Freiermuth versus San Francisco, you have him at 8, ECR is 11. I'm kind of shocked that you would do my boys dirty like this. Fred Warner won't allow him to be tight end 8. He won't allow it, Walker.
I mean, the Niners will play zone coverage at some point.
Says you.
Their new defensive coordinator is going to play 100% man.
I mean, to be completely honest with you, I don't know how you can rearrange guys inside the blob for week one. Like, just have them in the same, whatever you rank them before the season, have them in the same order.
Pretty much.
For week one. Yeah, it's you're getting too cute.
If you drafted Pat Freiermuth, you're starting him.
Yes, exactly. So that's what it comes down to. If you drafted him, you're starting him. What about Gerald Everett? You have at 11, ECR is 15. I think that he will do well this week, not versus Seattle, versus Miami. I have the wrong LA team in there. Versus Miami. At Miami, Gerald Everett. I think he'll have a great week this week. I think he scores a touchdown. because he all the under the hood stats were good for him last year. He just couldn't punch it through. And now Kellen Moore is his OC, who focuses on the tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably my favorite streaming tight end week one. I don't care for Miami's defense up the middle as much as I do on the edge. And I think Everett's a good player. So, yeah, I think he's your top waiver wire guy at tight end if he's available.
I agree. He's 42% rostered. I wrote about him in my streamers article that's going to come out on Friday. So I agree. Everything there. Greg Dulcich, you have 12 at or versus Las Vegas. ECR on him is 18. I know people are scared by Adam Trautman. I don't get it.
I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Adam Trautman's going to get one target a game.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too. It's like, oh, I'm scared of Adam Trautman. It's like, okay, this team, since draft season started, lost Tim Patrick, and they won't have Jerry Jeudy in this game. Well, actually, I saw he's practicing. Jerry Jeudy might play. I don't think he's going to play. But Greg Dulcich is going to be the number two target, or number three target in this offense. Potentially number two ahead of Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be up there. So it's, I think he probably gets at least five targets.
And 4 for 85 and a touchdown.
Wait a second here. No, I would say, you know, 4 catches for, you know, like 55 yards. Maybe he scores. If he scores, then he could be like a fringe top five tight end this week. And I don't really like the Raiders defense much.
Yeah, they weren't very good last year, and they didn't really do anything to improve. So,
yep,
they're gonna be bad. All right, tight ends are lower on Dalton Schultz at Baltimore. You have him at 16, ECR is 12, and then also Dalton Kincaid you have at 23, ECR on him is 19. Let's take one role and split it into two guys and see how that works out. That's basically what's happening in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care for it. So it's especially week one against a really good defense. I'm not interested in a rookie tight end. No, thank you.
No, especially because he was supposed to play. Everybody's like, well, he's going to be their slot receiver. And then in the preseason, they started rotating slot snaps. And then everybody panicked because there's like 12 slot receivers on the Bills.
Yeah, Deontay Hardy, Khalil Shakir, Trent Sherfield, and Dalton Kincaid are all going to play slot snaps.
So is Dawson Knox.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he played out of the slot like a third of the time last year.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a mess. So that I think that people are going to have a harsh reality with Dalton Kincaid. Your toughest rank, Kyle Pitts versus Carolina. You have him at 5. Sure.
Hey, I see your...
We forgot. Tight end you're low on. Chigozie Okonkwo at New Orleans. Look.
He's you have trying him at to 18. Skip over it because he doesn't agree.
Chig.
Yeah, Chig. New Orleans.
The tight end guy. Chig. Oh, the tight end guy.
God. New Orleans has been a good defense against tight ends for a long time.
Yes.
Chig is the third target in a passing offense that doesn't throw that much. He's going to have to score a touchdown to pay off this week. So, maybe as like a contrarian DFS pick, but I wouldn't start him in redraft.
I don't even think Chig would be a contrarian pick.
You don't think, you think a lot of people are still going to go with him?
Yeah, because a lot of people were in on him before the Treylon Burks injury, and Treylon Burks is Treylon Hurts, and so they're going to go back to Chig. I don't think it's going to be a contrarian. It's going to be like a lot of people are going to be like, oh, this is your cheap week one play is Chig Okonkwo. I don't think it's going to be a contrarian thing either.
Hmm.
So maybe your contrarian play is not playing Chigozie Okonkwo.
Your contrarian play in it.
Your double reverse contrarian play.
Hunter Henry against the Eagles.
Mike Gesicki, let's go. All right. Toughest rank. Kyle Pitts versus Carolina. You have him at 5. I mean, yeah, we don't know if Kyle Pitts is going to be tight end 1 or tight end 21, basically.
No idea. Yeah, you have to start him this week. Carolina's defense is okay. You got it there at home. You got to think that he's going to get targets at some point, and he is very talented. So you have to go with it right now. I mean, if he starts off slow, then we'll adjust.
I agree. Like it's we just got to see how it goes. Like, nobody doubts the talent, but Arthur Smith isn't interested in maximizing his offensive talent.
Yeah.
So, which is funny because Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts is an amazing core to have. And then he has Desmond Ridder, and he's going to run the ball 35 times a game.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Most surprising, Noah Gray versus Detroit. You have him at 14. We already talked about him. Sneaky start. Tyler Hate Crime Higby at Seattle. You have him top 10. I think top 10 might be too low with no Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, no Cooper Kupp. He's probably going to get, you know, something close to double digit targets. Mm-hmm. He won't catch a super high percentage of them, but I mean, a solid floor is maybe like five catches for 40 yards, 45 yards. So, you know, if his floor is 9 points, that's more than a lot of tight ends are going to get you anyway. So yeah, if he's out there, if he's out there in your waiver wire and you're cool with playing him, then go for it.
Yeah, for streaming, we're looking for a 4-for-40 floor with a hope at a touchdown. So
right, and so
Tyler Higbee, his floor is, that's easily his floor.
Right,
is 4-for-40. Tough sit. You have Cole Kmet versus the Packers. I disagree. I don't think this is a tough sit.
Yeah, well, I think if you drafted Cole Kmet, you surely drafted him in the top 12 tight ends. In which case, you were expecting to be able to start him week one, and I don't think you should do that.
I do not think you should start in week one either. So, all right, let's talk about your sneaky fart of the week, and then we'll get into our sicko stashes. So your sneaky fart is Courtland Sutton. We mentioned it with Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy getting hurt. He's the wide receiver one in Denver going up against, I lost it.
Las Vegas.
Thank you. Bad defense.
Yeah, not a great defense against the pass. He's the de facto number one target in the passing offense. He is a good downfield receiver. I have Courtland Sutton, wide receiver 35, so a start in three wide receiver leagues. I would start him over Juju Smith-Schuster, over Gabe Davis, over Jordan Addison, Brandon Cooks. You know, I think he's a solid candidate for a really good week one.
Yeah, I think so, just on volume alone and the fact that the Raiders defense could give up a big play or two.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not very good. So, all right, let's get into our sicko stashes. So these are guys rostered, again, in fewer than 5% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Walker, your 1% quarterback sicko stash. Is it Josh Dobbs?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah!
You got
it.
Is
this because you have him in the experts league?
He was the only one down there who is actually playing this week. And so I thought you could actually like keep him and maybe flip him for something if somebody was desperate enough.
Yeah. What's funny is Desmond Ridder is 5% rostered, but nobody wants to pick up and play Desmond Ridder. I'm going with the true stash nature of this, and I'm going, I also have 1%.
No.
I'm saying I also had a 1% quarterback, which is going to be,
Sam Darnold.
Correct. I said it earlier. Brock Purdy isn't very good, but he's good for the offense. So if something happens to Brock Purdy, I truly believe Sam Darnold could come in and do that 220-2 game that Brock Purdy has been doing. And that is a true sicko stash to start or to stash Sam Darnold.
It's true.
Sam Darnold, folks. That's some sicko stuff. All right. Let's go to your running back. So you have a 1% rostered running back. Sicko stash. We already said who mine is. It's Sean Tucker. 3% rostered.
Yes. Jeff's is Sean Tucker, obviously.
The worst kept secret. Walker's is Chase Edmonds, obviously.
Oh, it's not.
What?
It's not Chase Edmonds.
It's not Chase Edmonds. Let me look at the 1% guys, because I didn't even it's not Jaleel McLaughlin, is it?
No.
I heard people talking about Jaleel McLaughlin. I'm like, what are you doing with your life? I don't know. Pierre Strong, somebody that's interested in me, and if Jerome Ford's injured, Keontae Ingram.
No,
I'm out of options.
It is Latavius Murray.
Oh, Buffalo. Okay. Latavius Murray, Buffalo running back, 83rd ranked running back on the week.
Yeah. This one's definitely a stash. He's not going to be relevant right away, but if you're in a deep league, and one of James Cook or Damian Harris goes down, which is a big possibility if they try to overload Cook with touches, because he isn't that kind of player. We've seen Latavius Murray step in and be fairly productive multiple times in his career for multiple teams. There's no reason why he couldn't do that again and, you know, fall into a running back 25 season by accident.
Yeah, he just gets buckets. You know who he is? He's football Jamal Crawford.
He gets buckets.
He just gets buckets. It's like, he just comes in. He's productive. He's never like the third or fourth best player on the team. He's just kind of like, he's just always there and always doing positive stuff. He's Jamal Crawford. He just gets buckets, Walker. All right. So Walker's sicko wide receiver stash for this week, 4% rostered player. I'm going to go with John Mechie.
No.
Paris Campbell?
No.
Robert Woods?
No.
Those are all the 4% guys. Darius Slayton?
Yes.
Oh, Giants wide receiver Darius Slayton.
It's bonkers that you can get a team's wide receiver one for free.
Yeah, it is bonkers that you can get a team's wide receiver one for free. And that's why my sicko stash is Wandale Robinson at 2% rostered. I know you're supposed to guess, but that's my sicko stash. Do you remember Wandale Robinson? He's good at football.
Okay. I think Darius Slayton's better.
I think whoever gets the most targets out of this Giants wide receiver room this week is going to be the number one waiver pickup.
Yep, that's true. It's going to be Isaiah Hodgins. He's going to end up having like 6 for 80 and a touchdown on 7 targets and then never do that again.
Yeah, because look at this. This is the rostership of guys in New York. Jalin Hyatt, 20%. Isaiah Hodgins, 8. Paris Campbell, 4. Darius Slayton, 4. Wandale, 2. Sterling Shepard, 1. Like, it's a room where there's a lot of growth opportunity for pickups.
Yeah, there's definitely 5 guys who could conceivably lead that team in targets this year.
Yeah, like, I didn't even fight you that hard, and you didn't fight me that hard when you put your flag down on Slayton, and I put it down on Wandale. So, could be right. All right, 2% tight end, Walker. Is it Trey McBride?
No.
All right. Is it Juju Smith? No, I'm stalling because I only looked up Trey McBride. I thought that was yours. Oh, it's Isaiah Likely.
Yep, that's correct. If Mark Andrews aggravates his injury at any point, Isaiah Likely is immediately very attractive as a top 12 option. He was shockingly productive, despite the fact that he didn't start any games last year. As a rookie, he had over 30 catches and like 400 yards and a couple touchdowns. Like, he was legitimately solid, despite the fact that he was tight end 2 behind a superstar all year. He would be very good if he got the opportunity to be a starter, I believe.
Yeah, I loved Isaiah Likely last year. You know, he's got that. He's not a, and he's 6'4", 245. He's not this massive guy out there. I really liked him. He had that preseason game last year that got him onto everybody's radar. I think that's a good call. And then, so my 2% tight end is
Trey McBride.
Yes, I was waffling between him and Kate Otten. But Trey McBride, Zach Ertz is back. So I'm playing both sides. So I always come out on top. Zach Ertz is in my streamers this week, but then Trey McBride is, my, sneaky or my, sicko stash.
Yeah. You're a nasty, evil man. You're scheming.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do they have? Who's their big target? It's going to be one of the tight ends.
Michael Wilson, in case you haven't heard.
Boo! Get him all the way out of here. It's not going to be Michael Wilson. Sorry, man. That's whose war was it? Charlie Wilson.
I don't know, what? Man. I don't know
Charlie Wilson's war? 2000 film? 2007 film?
No.
Charlie Wilson's war? Starring George Clooney, I think?
I have no
Tom
idea.
Tom Hanks. Same guy.
Nope.
Not the same guy. All right. So, Walker, anything else you want to say for this week?
Some people call me Big Daddy Ranks.
Oh, I forgot that people call Walker Big Daddy Ranks. God. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah,
hello, everybody. All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back on Friday. It'll be just me and Walker again because Mike is on assignment. He's begging and pleading for Jonathan Taylor to come back home.
He's on assignment. He's
in Tahoe.
Mike is Mike is engaged in clandestine operations that we cannot tell you about.
That's correct. We disavow any knowledge of what he is doing. So we'll be back on Friday. We'll talk the rest of week one. We'll talk about Thursday Night Football. We'll be toasting a Lions victory.
And God, I hope so.
That would be so much fun. All right. But for Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care. And that's great.
That's great.